We're continuing a series of messages on the Ten Commandments, and looking at the Ten Commandments, of course, and also sometimes also question and answers from the Catechism. We're a little out of order because of sickness a while back that this commandment got moved a bit, so I think we went 6, 7, 5. So I invite you to, think about these words, of course, from Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother, so that you will live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land your Lord God is giving you. And then if you would also turn page 910 in the gray hymnal, page 910, the back page is there. We'll read that single question and answer on the fifth commandment. I'll ask the question if you would respond with the answers once you found it. Page 910. As we think about that fifth commandment, we say, well, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them, as is proper, when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Thank you for that answer. Well, beloved in Christ, when someone is arrested for a crime, all the way to when they stand trial as a defendant for that crime, they have the right to refuse to answer questions in order to avoid incriminating themselves. And you know what they'll say, of course. We hear it on the lawyer TV shows, things like that. They say, I take the fifth, or I plead the fifth. They are referring to the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. I'm exercising my right to not say a word, and this refusal can't be used against me in a court of law. I take the fifth. Today I plead with you all to take another fifth, to take and keep that fifth. That fifth, of course, is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That is the fifth commandment. It's a commandment that is much needed today, needed to teach us once again that God has chosen to rule us through people on this earth. Through, first of all, our parents, of course, moms and dads, but also through the various authority positions around us every single day. For example, judges and presidents and mayors and governors and police officers and firefighters and teachers, to name just a few. Authority is given to parents and to many other positions of authority. It is given, entrusted to them by God. And since that's true, people faithfully living into those positions are to be honored. Not the same way we honor and worship God, not on that level, but they are to be honored and respected as those who have been given their authority by God. It's important to remember in today's times that as much as we complain about political parties or who gets elected each time for president, as much as we complain about teachers who are strict and don't let us get away with anything at school, and much as we complain about bosses who crack the whip and cops who don't cut us a break and award us a ticket rather than a warning, it's important to remember that these people are in positions of authority to keep society from falling apart. Without rules and laws and legislation and law enforcement and so on, civil society ceases to exist. The kingdom of peace, of shalom, God's kingdom, while Christians are a part of it already, the kingdom of peace is not quite a reality for every single human being. As Andrew Kuivenhoven wrote, obedience and authority form the beams and rafters of a solid society. Obedience and authority form the beams and rafters of a solid society. We disregard a law like the fifth commandment, in other words, at our own peril. For when we do, society can start to come apart at the seams. Let's take a closer look then at the fifth commandment. It talks specifically about the parent-child relationship, doesn't it? The relationship after which all these other societal ones are to be modeled, because it is the one that is so modeled by God in the Bible. God is our Father. We are His children. God has described as the Father of His Son Israel, and the Bible tells us our Heavenly Father is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, full of forgiveness, and perfectly just, tender-hearted to His children. You know the words in Hosea 11? When Israel was a child, I loved him. This is God talking. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. It was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted them like a little child to my cheek. I bent down to feed them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. What a picture of a loving father over his child, caring for his child. And he does it despite the disobedience of his child. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, the text goes on there. Israel with deceit. Judah is unruly against God. We see the loving father in Hosea with all power and authority over Israel, his child, but still exercising that authority and power in love, with care, concern, compassion, with love. It reminds us of the good news in Romans chapter 5, doesn't it? Of how God treats each one of us, his children, while we were still disobedient, still sinners. God sent us Jesus, who died for us and rose from the dead for us. That's the model God gives us for our own earthly parent-child relationships, an obedience to authority relationship that is grounded in love. The parents love first, and then in response, the child's love and obedience. I read a book a while ago, a book of short stories by Stephen King, and some of you know who Stephen King, what kind of stories he writes. You got to be a little bit weird to read his works, but one of them, not a nice story at all. In fact, it made me sick to my stomach while reading it, but some stories are hard to put down. Once you start, you want it to get better so badly at the end. The story was about a boy who had turned into a serial killer, and Stephen King wrote in such a way that the reader got to be inside the boy's head, right? To hear his thoughts as well as his words. Those two things, though, were always at odds. And one of the most sickening parts of the story had nothing to do with his killing. It had to do with the conversations this boy would have with his mother and father. While he smiled and spoke delightful words of love and affection to his parents on the outside, the thoughts in his mind about them were tragic, sinister, disgusting, evil. He would think of how he hated them so much, how he wanted to scream cuss words at them, how he wanted to kill them just like other people he had secretly killed. And this all written in graphic and violent language. I remember thinking as I read, how can anyone think these things, think like this about their father and mother? As I said, I got physically sick to my stomach in these parts of the story. The character so obviously breaking the fifth commandment, breaking it in a way that I hope disgusted all who read the story. Well, thinking back on that experience, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if every time we broke a commandment, every time we broke the fifth commandment, we would become physically ill? What a deterrent that would be. What was so horrific about the story was the sheer incongruity of the relationship. The sides of the relationship didn't match up. The boy's mother especially loved her child unconditionally, but the boy simply hated her. It was tragic, abhorrent, repulsive. Well, the Catechism says that obeying this commandment means that we are to honor, love, and be loyal to our fathers and mothers, that we are to obey and submit to them, and that we are to be patient when they fail. The Catechism adds a lot of verbs there to this commandment, doesn't it? Honor, love, be loyal, obey, submit, be patient. Those things aren't always easy for children of any age. And that's assuming the parent-child relationship is pretty healthy for the most part. With God, our Heavenly Father, He always gets it right. He always does it right. But with our earthly fathers and mothers, they do fail us. They don't always say the right thing in the right way. They don't always do things exactly right. And in some homes, not even close to right. And hardly ever right, in fact. And yet we children are to somehow muster up patience with them in their failings. Patience for them. And in fact, some fathers and mothers tragically go very wrong in their parenting. There is physical, emotional, sexual abuse of their children. A kind, encouraging, proud of you word is never spoken. There are parents who are alcoholics, addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography, parents who cheat, and the children of these fathers or mothers, they suffer. They find it awfully hard to be patient with the failings of their parents. They see what their father or mother thinks he or she has kept top secret, and they suffer in the brokenness of that family and in the brokenness of their relationships. And in those very sad situations, there are times when a child does and must disobey their parents as a way to continue to honor and respect them for the good of the relationship, for the good of the parent, for the good of the child. When the authorities must be called and told against the parent's express wishes and threats so the parent can get the help they need. That's how stark the difference can be between our earthly parents and God our Father. Now, He is perfect. He always gets it right. He loves unconditionally, forever faithful. You can't point to an area where He has ever failed. And God, in His perfect wisdom, has given us parents whom we are to honor, who for quite a lot of us have done and are doing that honorably, doing an admirable job in bringing us up in the way we should go. The Bible says we are to honor those parents, honor them for their God-given authority. The Catechism says we are to honor and love and be loyal to them, obey them, submit to them. It's easy to remember times when we disobeyed this commandment, isn't it? As young children, as adolescents, as young adults, as parents ourselves, as older parents, as children with aged parents, it's easy to remember those times when we disobeyed. Perhaps it's a bit harder to remember the times we really lived out the commandment, the times we showed love and honor and respect to our parents in very visible ways. It would be meaningful, wouldn't it? Exciting and revealing and perhaps cathartic to have a family up here or two and ask each family member about times in their lives when they disobeyed and obeyed this commandment. To ask the teenage daughter about the time she snuck out of the house, to get her impression now as she looks back on it 10 years later. To get her parents' impression. Maybe they'd just be discovering it as she says it. To ask the son about the time at his graduation 20 years ago when he hugged his dad and thanked him for all the sacrifices he made to send him to that school. To get his impression as he looks back. Then to get the dad's memory of that too. Or to ask the daughter whose mom is in the nursing home about the many visits, the many long talks she had with her mom to find out if she did it with love in her heart or thought of it as a chore or a little of both, to hear also what her mother thought of all those visits. Or to ask the child about all the times he talked back to his mom, whether he regrets it or not yet, whether he sees the dishonor of it or not yet, and to hear what his mom has to say about it. About how she was so hurt by it, but never let on, just waited for her son to grow up, or is waiting. Or to ask the children about how they still struggle with being patient with their parents. Is it getting easier? Has having children of your own changed things? Or to ask young people about how embarrassed they are of their mom and dad, embarrassed to bring friends home and meet their parents because, oh, they're so awkward. Or because they're just mean. Or asking adult children about the times they talked about their parents behind their backs, making fun of them, making fun of their old traditions and old habits. Or asking the child about the gifts he loves making for mom and dad at Christmas time to show them how much he loves them. Wouldn't it be something to witness that, to be able to hear all those stories of obedience and disobedience, obedience and disobedience in both directions, parents and child alike, to hear of lessons learned, to hear about forgiveness or not being able to forgive, to hear about relationship boundaries that had to be set for the good of the family, to hear about obedience boundaries that were crossed and confessed and forgiven, to hear about love strengthened and returned, to hear about generations of children growing up, learning how to return their parents' love over a lifetime, and then even starting that cycle again with their own children, perhaps, or to hear about when that cycle got broken, and about the suffering that resulted. Wouldn't it be something to hear those stories that God knows, everyone, to remember them together, to see growth in relationships or brokenness, to get excited and even emotional about the way this commandment has been lived out and learned from in all of their lives, to hear how Jesus Christ has worked in our lives, to hear again that he has given us the ability now to keep this commandment and to live it out, to hear about the failings and about the successes, to hear again about the promise of God attached to this command and how he keeps it. He keeps extending it to each family here, into each family here, extending it into the lives of the Plowmans and the Brummels and the Deemters and the Risleys and the Osterheerds and the Scoffs and the Roloffs and the Vandenbergs and the Wahlbergs and the Witties and the Kuypers and the Marsmans and the DeGraffs and the Hansons and the Edwards and the Bowens and the DeYoungs and the Gruppens and so on, and so on. You see, children of God, this commandment is meant to show us the joyful way to live. God means to show us here a way to live that is for our own well-being. Young people, if a parent ever lords this commandment over you, let them. Within reason, of course. Remember those awful problems of abuse and other things. Those are treated a bit differently. They have to be. But if a good parent ever lords this commandment over you, as a joke, you know, honor your parents, obey your parents, let them. Then even stun them a bit and say back, you're right. You're right. For this commandment is in the best interests of children. It makes parents' lives a lot easier too. But it's in a child's best interest to obey this command. For there is a promise that you may live long in the land. Or as the New Testament at Ephesians says it, that it may go well with you. And that you may enjoy long life on this earth. That's a promise from God. It may go well with you. Obeying, honoring our parents is an ingredient of a good and happy life or a blessed life. There's a covenant promise in this commandment that God gives to kids all ages, a promise of a joyous future for God's people. Generally speaking, obedience to this command, obedience to our parents makes for a stronger family. Strong families that reproduce themselves from generation to generation. Where there is obedience of children to parents, there will most often be obedience of their children to them and theirs to them, and so on and so on. Grandchildren see the honoring of their grandparents by their own parents, and the grandchildren carry on the honor by honoring their own parents. And from generation to generation, God blesses the covenant family. Does it always happen? Yes and no. No, sometimes the pattern breaks off entirely due to our own disobedience or a parent's catastrophic failure to show love. But yes, God never stops blessing his obedient children. You see, children, God has given this fifth commandment prescription for a good and happy life. And it is all about honoring, loving our fathers and mothers in response to the love and commitment they show us. Christ has made it possible to live out this commandment. You know what might be a good thing to do today? Maybe at the dinner table, children, tell your parents how you think you disobeyed them lately. But more importantly, tell them how you've honored them. And parents, listen to them. Tell them how it hurts when they disobey. But more importantly, tell them of the joy in your heart when they honor you. Tell them about the tears of pride and joy. Tell them how you well up when you see them growing closer to Jesus. If you can't talk about it, write it down this afternoon. Children, write down your appreciation for your parents. Write down what you wish you could change to. But most of all, write something that will honor them for their God-given position of authority rooted in love. And then let them read what you've written. And if you want to feel good, watch your parents' eyes light up as they read it. Watch for the tears in their eyes. And parents, you better write back. Write down your appreciation, your undying love, the thrill in your heart that you have for your children, how they bring joy to you, and how you're so proud of them. You see, children of God, Christ died and rose to not only bring us forgiveness for when we so often mess this commandment up. And he does forgive us. He does forgive us when we sincerely confess this sin. But also, he died and rose to make us new children who now, through the Holy Spirit, have the ability to keep this commandment. Let's recognize that again today And let's live it out in our families. As we honor our parents, as we love our kids, God promises to bless us in those relationships. And that's reason enough right there for me to plead with you to take the fifth and keep the fifth. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we've prayed already about this commandment earlier in the service, about how we need help to keep it. And we know that there's a whole lot of brokenness in families as it relates to this commandment, a whole lot of brokenness, period, in families. And sometimes those relationships are in shambles. Oftentimes, they're doing pretty well, but sometimes just broken apart. So we pray for healing wherever healing is needed today. We pray for parents, moms, and dads to love as they should, to seek forgiveness if they've failed miserably at loving as they should. And we pray for children to honor and respect as they should, and to seek forgiveness when they really mess that up. We all need your grace and your love, Heavenly Father, perfect Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful that you forgive us because of Jesus. And also because of Jesus, you allow us to start brand new, brand clean and fresh every single day in this commandment and all the others. Help us, Lord. Heal us. And help us become the children, the parents, the brothers and sisters in Christ you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.